Time is 2:06, currently fair skies, 44 degrees at our studios on East Wausau Avenue in Wausau. I'm Chad Holmes, and welcome to the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. We got ourselves a terrific show on tap. Coming up in about 8 minutes or so, we're going to get a chance to talk to the Lieutenant Governor of the state of Wisconsin, also the Democratic nominee for the United States Senate, Mandela Barnes. Lieutenant Governor Barnes actually paid in a visit to central Wisconsin today, had an event in Wausau earlier today, and getting a chance to talk to a Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes coming up at 2:15. Obviously, heading down the stretch. 3 weeks from today, it is Election Day, as the Lieutenant Governor looking to take the seat from the incumbent Republican Senator Ron Johnson. Speaking of Ron Johnson, last week in the Cap Times, the Capital Times in Madison, a very interesting story from Jessie Apoyan. She wrote a rather deep dive into Ron Johnson called The Political Paradox of Ron Johnson. And there were times that I was yelling at that article as I read it. There were other times that I shook my head in affirmation. Other times I shook my head in disagreement. But a very interesting write-up on Ron Johnson and also the U.S. Senate race going on here in Wisconsin. And coming up at 3:15 today, we'll talk about that article, talk about the Senate race, the gubernatorial race with Jessie Apoyan from the Cap Times in Madison. Again, that's at 3:15. So Mandela Barnes at 2:15, Jessie Apoyan at 3:15 today here on the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Coming up in a few minutes, talk to Lieutenant Governor Barnes. And had a chance, the first time I ever met the Lieutenant Governor was just over a year ago, Labor Day 2021. And each Labor Day, I get an opportunity to be the announcer at the Wausau Labor Day Parade. Been doing that for a number of years. Always a great honor being asked by the Marathon County Labor Council to be part of it. And last year, after he had announced that he was running for the U.S. Senate, Lieutenant Governor Barnes participated in that event. And after the event was over, I was on the reviewing stand, and the Lieutenant Governor came up, had a chance to talk to him for a few minutes. Nothing real deep, not going into a lot of the issues, but able to talk to him just person to person for a few minutes as he was waiting. And the thing that jumped out was what a personable guy he was. Again, it's great when you have somebody that you support politically and then get a chance to meet them, that you get an opportunity to then find out, hey, he's, you know, a good guy, a kind of guy that you feel like you could hang out with. And the thing about it is, yeah, I support Mandela Barnes. I think he's a fine public servant. But I've met Republicans, when I've talked to them and said, hey, not a bad guy. In fact, number of years back here on WXCO, I was the host of a morning program. It was a less political program. It was pretty much a news, weather, a little bit of music, some interviews, public affairs kind of program. And we bring in state representatives, state senators from our area. And one guy that I was very impressed with when he had a chance to come in and sit down was State Senator Jerry Petruski, the current state senator for the 29th District. He is retiring, so he will not be continuing in that office past the end of this year. But he would come in from time to time, usually monthly, and get a chance to talk to him about some of the issues going on that involve central Wisconsin in Madison. And while politically we differed on different areas, I found him to be a very personable man, a personable guy, and felt good about it. Because even when somebody that's not of your political persuasion gets elected, it's not a bad thing to have a decent feeling about the person. because that's the way the system works. And actually, one thing I'm going to talk to Jesse Apoyan about in the next hour is how up until the last 5, 6, 7 years, we had a system where sometimes Democrats would be in charge, whether in Madison or in Washington, D.C., in terms of having the majority in the Congress or in the state government. And there'd be times Republicans would have the presidency or the governorship and maybe control of one or both houses of the legislature. That's the way it worked. Yeah, I mean, is this not the way? There's not one party rule in this country. As much as maybe some of us would think it would be better in terms of the policy, but at the same time, if it was one party rule, that would not be good for the country. But now it appears, and something that was part of Jesse Apoyan's article with Ron Johnson, and Ron Johnson was asked, how do we get some of the bitterness and some of the issues that are going on right now in government out of government? And he was asked, I want to find this real quickly before, about how to, he was asked about what goes into fixing the division. Johnson deadpans, can we get rid of the left? And then he said, no, I'm dead serious. We are the party that says live and let live. The left's not willing to do that. They want to make sure that everybody sees the world the way they see it. It's the left that continues to exacerbate the divide. They're the ones who love the wedge issues. Again, it's baloney, but these guys believe it. Get rid of the left. One party rule. They don't let the elections they lose go. They try to stall. So again, it's going to be very interesting. But coming up next in 2 minutes, Mandela Barnes here on Bull Falls Radio WXCO. Welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Very happy to welcome to the program Wisconsin's current Lieutenant Governor, Democratic nominee for the U.S. Senate, Mandela Barnes. And first of all, Mr. Lieutenant Governor, thank you for spending a few minutes talking to us and the folks here in Central Wisconsin.
Hey, thank you so much for taking the time. Really glad to be here.
Actually, just over a year ago at the Wausau Labor Day Parade, about 13 months ago, I had a chance to talk to you briefly as you were in Wausau for that parade, and that was obviously early in your campaign. I wanted to ask you, between then and now, what's the biggest thing you've learned during the course of this campaign?
Well, I've really learned how to touch Ron Johnson is, how dangerous his positions are. Most importantly, I learned about how much more we all have in common in the state, things I've already known, as I've gotten to travel the state as Lieutenant Governor. But during this campaign, it has just been a constant reminder that we all have so much more in common than we'll ever have with fellow serving out of such politicians like him.
When you look at the issues, and I think one of the probably the biggest hurdles that you've had to go over is the fact that so many of the commercials that have been thrown at you, millions and millions of dollars, don't focus on a lot of the issues, I think, that are at the front and center of a lot of Wisconsinites. A couple of issues that I think were talked about during the two debates you've had with the senator the last couple of weeks, Social Security and abortion. The senator says he wants to save Social Security, but at the same time put it on the chopping block. I wanted to get your viewpoints on Social Security and also along those lines as well, what your plans would be to secure it even further into the future.
Well, yeah, that's just Ron Johnson's line to the people because his position is so deeply unpopular and so deeply harmful, to be honest with you. I support not just strengthening Social Security, or not just making Social Security solvent, but strengthening Social Security. That means making sure the wealthy pay into the vital program, the way wealthy need to pay their fair share. This is how people continue to get left behind. People work hard their entire lives. Like, I think about, my grandparents, other seniors, who worked their entire lives, even people with disabilities who rely on Social Security, and the fact that Ron Johnson wants to make life harder for them just doesn't sit well with me, especially given the fact that he doubled his wealth in the United States Senate. A person who doubled his wealth shouldn't be in the Senate to make everybody else's life harder.
When you, as well, I wanted to ask you, would you be in favor of lifting the cap in terms of Social Security taxes? As you said, having the wealthy pay more of their fair share at this point, anybody that is in the lower ends of the economic strata end up paying all of their earnings into Social Security while the wealthy don't. Would you be in favor of raising that limit?
Oh, absolutely. That's what I mean by making sure that the wealthy pay into this vital program.
Talking about abortion, obviously a lot of people got very upset during the course of the summer with the Supreme Court ruling. What is you? Let's put it straight out there. Your viewpoint on the issue of abortion?
Well, my viewpoint happens to be the viewpoint of 70% of people in this state who think Roe versus Wade should be the law of the land. It worked for 50 years. People like Ron Johnson celebrated the overturning of Roe versus Wade. He celebrated the Dobbs decision. He said it was correctly decided. He called it a victory. He said that women that don't like the laws of their state, like our 1849 criminal abortion ban, can just move. And, I mean, how out of touch is that position to take? How dangerous? How inconsiderate? And we're fighting to make sure that women get to make their most difficult decision with their doctors. And that's how it should be. Ron Johnson doesn't see it that way. He sees it as his responsibility to make that choice for women. And this November, in just 3 short weeks from today, women get to make the decision to send him packing.
Again, we're talking to Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, the Democratic nominee for the United States Senate, here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Another issue that I just think that sometimes we hear about a lot, but I think we should hear about it even more, is the issue of democracy. And I think just yesterday a story came out that Ron Johnson is paying a lawyer that was involved in the scheme to overturn the election in 2020, that he's already lining up a lawyer just in case he needs to use a, quote, recount, end quote. Democracy is on the ballot, isn't it?
Democracy is absolutely on the ballot. And the reality is Ron Johnson tried to send a slate of fraudulent electors to the vice president in an attempt to overturn the 2020 election. The whole time when he cast seeds of doubt into the general public about the 2020 election, he made things dangerous. That's what incited the January 6th insurrection. The January 6th insurrection that he supported that left 140 officers injured. These were folks who threatened to hang the vice president. And Ron Johnson said that he didn't see it as an insurrection. I'm not sure if he knows what an insurrection looks like, but given his thoughts on January 6th, it shows that he can't be trusted with public safety at large.
During the course of the campaign, it's been hard-hitting and so much money going into it in terms of negative ads. One thing I've noticed about you is that you're still putting out some very positive ads. Here in central Wisconsin, keeping an eye on the commercials, we see, a lot of the third-party ads coming after you very hard. But at the same time, you're still putting out vision ads. How do you go about trying to keep an even keel when you're hit hard and probably in a lot of unfair ways? Your mindset during the campaign in terms of trying to stay positive in terms of what you want to talk about to the voters here in Wisconsin?
Well, the reality is people want to know how you plan to help them out, and that's what it should be about. And the difference between Senator Johnson and myself is that I have something to talk about, and he doesn't, because his agenda isn't the agenda of a majority of people in Wisconsin. His agenda supports himself. It supports his wealthy donors and most wealthy people in this country. Now, given the fact that Ron Johnson's favorability is in the tank, we have a chance to make sure that people know exactly who I am, while Republicans and Ron Johnson and his allies are trying to define me on their terms.
Something else I wanted to ask you about is the fact that you are a young man in terms of political life. In this era, we have so many, if you look at the United States Senate, it's much older than I would say the normal American would be. A lot of older Americans are serving in the United States Senate. What kind of perspective do you think you could bring to the Senate as someone that is a younger person that may have different life experiences and also different viewpoints on the future. Do you feel like you would be able to add something to the U.S. Senate based on your generation?
Well, I'd say the Senate is broken in general. It doesn't truly reflect the American experience. It is a millionaire's club that needs to be broken up. The majority of people in this country are not millionaires, so why should we be represented by a majority of millionaires? Also, the life experience in the United States Senate is not the life experience of the majority of American people. They don't live as we live, and that's why we don't see things getting done. That's why we have so much stagnation. That's why we haven't seen wage growth that keeps up with inflation. That's why we haven't seen every single person in this country be granted health care in one form or another. Now, it's the generational perspective that's also missing, but so much else is missing as well. And that's the gap that we're working to close, make sure that working people actually have a voice in the United States Senate.
Something that was talked about quite a bit in the two debates from Senator Johnson, he talks about spending and debt and deficits. If you look at since 1980 or so when the trickle-down revolution began, you've seen, I think, when Democrats are in power, debt and deficit goes down. It seems as though when Republicans are in power, it explodes. What's your viewpoint on some of those issues that may be a little bit harder to explain to the people that when they use these buzzwords like debt and out-of-control spending when the facts just aren't there? I guess I just was wondering, because during the course of a debate, you don't have a lot of time. You get 30 seconds or 60 seconds, but it feels like some of the facts that need to be explained, it can be kind of difficult, can it?
Well, the problem is, like Ron Johnson will talk about deficit all he wants to, but the reality is he voted to blow a $2 trillion hole in the deficit with the 2017 tax bill, the tax bill that delivered $215 million in tax deductions to his biggest donors. In fact, he was a no vote at first until he was able to orchestrate those deductions for two of his biggest donors in a single year. At the same time, he voted to repeal the Affordable Care Act. That's hinted at doing it again if they get power. So, look, they know exactly what they're doing, and it's misleading the people. And that's why we need candidates. We're going to stand up for the truth. We're going to speak out and lead with conviction and actually keep working people in mind instead of the most wealthy individuals that are making life harder for everybody else.
And I guess finally, you said it a little bit earlier, 3 weeks from Election Day. It's been a long campaign of a lot of words, a lot of commercials, a lot of money being spent. As you head down the stretch here in the final 3 weeks, when you talk to folks throughout the state of Wisconsin, as much one-on-one as you possibly can, what is your final message going to be? What are the areas that you really want to hit coming down the stretch that you think that could be the difference in what looks to be a very close election?
Well, we deserve more than a self-serving election and climate-denying U.S. senator representing the state of Wisconsin. Those are not our values. We need working-class representation because this is a working-class state, whether you're a small family farmer or whether you're a small business owner or you're a person who gets up, goes to work every day, an educator, factory worker, regardless. You deserve a voice in the U.S. Senate. And unfortunately, Ron Johnson is not giving that to us. He's not providing that kind of leadership that we desperately need to help advance our cause and to help make our lives better in these most difficult times. Ron Johnson has turned his back on the people. And throughout my time as lieutenant governor, we picked up the slack doing the work that Ron Johnson refuses to do. And we're going to continue to do that. But the only way we can be the most effective is if Ron Johnson is no longer in the U.S. Senate. Everybody deserves a fair shot at the American dream. And it will not happen with Ron Johnson as the U.S. Senator. But we're leading with our values, we're leading with our vision, talking about making sure people have health care, making sure people have good paying jobs, and women can make their own health care decisions without government intrusion.
Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, Democratic nominee for the United States Senate. Again, really appreciate you spending a few minutes with us talking about some of the issues. Best of luck as you continue on the campaign trail and your sprint towards November 8th. Again, thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much.
That is, again, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. We got to take a quick break. We're going to come back again. We have coming up in the next hour at 3:15. We'll be talking more about this U.S. Senate race with the Capital Times Capital Bureau Chief, Jesse Apoyan. She had an article on Ron Johnson just last week talking a little bit about Johnson and this race. We'll talk to her about that coming up again at 3:15. Again, it is the Tuesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show. I am Chad Holmes. More to come here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXDM. Something wasn't right. There was not another soul in sight. Only you. Friday night, it's the start of the high school football playoffs, and the Wausau West Warriors play host to Wisconsin Rapids in a Division I Level 1 playoff. Hear the game live on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa, with the pregame at 6:40 and kickoff at 7 p.m. Hear all the exciting action live on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at BullFallsRadio.com, and mobile devices by searching WXCO, starting with the pregame show at 6:40 and the opening kickoff at 7 p.m. Wausau West High School football on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 is brought to you by the Clovervale Credit Union, Wisconsin Valley Flag Football, Sun Printing, Barney Brothers Kitchen and Bath, Bob Look for State Senate, and the Wausau West Athletic Department. It's Wausau West taking on Wisconsin Rapids in a Division I Level 1 playoff. Friday night, starting with the pregame show at 6:40, opening kickoff at 7 p.m. Live on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Online at BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO.
Fight to make ends meet, keeps a man up on his feet. Holding down his job.
And welcome back. Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. It takes every kind of people. And that's actually one of the aspects I took away from our conversation with Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. Hope you were with us just a moment ago as we had the Lieutenant Governor on the air. And I think he's right in terms of changing the makeup a little bit of the United States Senate. And I don't know if in the history of our country we've had a Senate with so many people 80 years old and older. You need to have a taste of youth in the U.S. Senate. And Mandela Barnes, only 35 years old. He's got a significant governmental career already under his belt, serving in the state legislature, serving as lieutenant governor, and now an opportunity as he is the Democratic nominee for the United States Senate. But again, I think there is that need to have a different perspective, especially when it comes to millionaires or non-millionaires. It really has become a millionaires club. It's always been a millionaires club. I mean, the United States Senate has been known for that for many, many years. And part of the article that we're going to talk about with Jesse Apoyan of the Capital Times coming up, where Ron Johnson, basically the article talks about Johnson at the Sheboygan County Fair during the summer, and he's walking around talking to folks, and he says going back to when he first ran in 2010, Johnson says there's so many things being pushed that make no sense. It wasn't like that in 2010. We had problems, but now people just have a sense that things are coming apart. I don't get that thinking. You know what? Reading the article, and I read the entire article a couple of times, my thought was this article could have been written back in the 1960s about a politician in the South. Basically, Ron Johnson sounds like somebody that's complaining about how things are changing, that he just wants things to stay the same, people that are supposed to be in charge stay in charge. People are supposed to be quiet and stay at the lower stratas of the social ladder. Stay quiet, stay where they are. Let the adults do what they're doing. That Ron Johnson is under the impression that rich white men should always be in charge in the United States of America. That nobody else should have that voice. That let me and my buddies here, my rich buddies, take care of business. Again, 2010, he says, it wasn't like that in 2010. There's so many things being pushed that make no sense. I would love to have Ron Johnson explain what are these things that are being pushed since 2010. And there was a quote I saw, and I wish I had it in front of me earlier in the week, talking about how Barack Obama becoming president of the United States, a black man who did a good job, went 8 years, dug this country out of the Great Recession, gave us health care reform, gave us a good economy, did a lot of really good things, did things in a very clean way. Nobody was indicted during the Obama administration, and yet it seemed to break some people. It broke them. That's how they put it. It just broke them that somehow the whole structure of just white rich men being president of the United States was blown away by Barack Obama. And it led ultimately to the ultimate rich white man, Donald Trump, becoming the next president after Barack Obama, despite the fact that Obama had good approval numbers. He, I think, was thought of in a very positive way by a great majority of the American electorate at the end of his two terms. But yet, there was this big swath of people within this country that said, we got to go back to the old white guy. First, you had a black president, and then you had a female that was the Democratic nominee 8 years after that. It's almost like somebody like Ron Johnson. There are so many things being pushed that make no sense. It wasn't like that in 2010. We had problems, but now people just have a sense that things are coming apart. Coming apart. And he doesn't say that based on the actions of Donald Trump during his 4 years in the White House. Because it's, you know, as I said earlier in the program, when he was asked about what goes into fixing the division in this country, the divisions that we have in this country, what goes into fixing the division, Johnson told Jesse Apoyan, quote, can we get rid of the left, end quote. And then just to make sure that Jesse Apoyan understood that he meant it, he said, quote, no, I'm dead serious. And then he goes through these, you know, fantasy. He's got a fantasy of what the Republican Party is. We are the party that says live and let live. The left's not willing to do that. They want to make sure that everybody sees the world the way that they see it. It is the left that continues to exacerbate the divide. They're the ones who love the wedge issues. Again, I mean, and there's something in this story that I'm going to talk to Jesse Apoyan as well, that Ron Johnson has this sense that he is somehow a truth teller, that he says, we can win if the truth gets out. And he says, people Johnson meets just have a sense of losing and losing, he says. I mean, Johnson's Wisconsin is so much different than I think the Wisconsin that most of us feel like we're living in. Ron Johnson lives in this Wisconsin that is from the 1950s. And you see it. I mean, you take the overturning of Roe v. Wade. You take some of the issues that are being pushed. You take that Clarence Thomas talking about marriage equality. And of course, if you talk about marriage equality, that leads to interracial marriage. I mean, we're going way back, way back. And yet Ron Johnson says that the Republicans are the live and let live party. I mean, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy. And the things that Johnson says about, you know, being a truth teller and WIS Facts, I mean, that's his website, WIS Facts. How many times has he changed his story on what he was doing in terms of the January 6th attempt to overturn the election? First, it was a couple of seconds. Then it's like an hour. Then it's like, oh, what would you do? I mean, it's somebody saying, get this lawyer for the president of the United States. So what am I supposed to do? I mean, he's changed his story over and over again. And yet, and again, that's something I really want to kind of delve into with Jesse Apoyan is it kind of starts off with Ron Johnson talking about being a truth teller. And then you get to the end of the story again. It's still where one of the Republican strategists talk about Johnson being known as a, you know, a guy that, you know, tells the truth no matter what. In fact, man's name is Gilkes. Gilkes is person that is helped as part of Republican campaigns, including the first governor race for Scott Walker. But this Republican strategist says that, what is the quote here? They don't understand, when they say they, the people that don't like Ron Johnson, they don't understand what the Wisconsin voters do appreciate about Ron Johnson. And that is his honesty, his directness. You may not agree with him, but you clearly understand and know where he stands. He's not afraid to give his opinion. Again, there's people that say that Ron Johnson is an honest guy. He has not been an honest guy. He wasn't honest 6 years ago when he said he was going to step down after a second term if he won. And again, people need to go back to 2016. And about in that race, Russ Feingold nailed it. In fact, Russ Feingold, during the course of the campaign, and I remember in one of the debates, he talked about the Ronald and the Donald show. That Ronald and Donald were basically joined at the hip. That Ron Johnson and Donald Trump were two peas in a pod. And Ron Johnson, during that campaign, during those debates, said, no, I'm not joined at the hip with Donald Trump. There are things about Donald Trump I don't like, blah, 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 blah. And then when Donald Trump was elected and when Ron Johnson was reelected, there was not a senator in Washington that was closer to Donald Trump. There's a reason why Donald Trump's lawyer said, get this to Ron Johnson, because Ron will get it then to Mike Pence to stop the certification of the 2020 presidential election. But during the course of the 4 years that Ron Johnson was serving with Donald Trump, there was nobody that was closer to Trump than Ron Johnson. There was nobody that Donald Trump could trust more than Ron Johnson. And it goes right to this day. It goes just to last week when Ron Johnson again was saying there was not an armed insurrection on January the 6th. He is still standing up for Donald Trump. He's still standing up for his supporters, and that will not change. But the idea that Ron Johnson is honest, after the news came out that Ron Johnson was asked to push forward these false slate of electors, you remember the scene where he's walking out of the Capitol and CNN is trying to ask him a couple of questions, and Johnson says, I can't talk to you, I'm on the phone. And then the CNN reporter says, I can tell that your phone is off. You're not on the phone. Ron Johnson was lying to that reporter. And then the very next week, here at the radio station, before we started Bow Falls Radio, still working with another radio group, and on one of the radio stations that was in this building, Ron Johnson put out a spot talking about lies, talking about how Democrats lie, talking about how the media lies, talking about how everybody lies except him. Don't believe all the lies, believe me, Ron Johnson. That was the spot, basically. Go to WisFacts and learn the truth. Again, it's crazy. And it was very interesting talking to Mandela Barnes, because despite all the negative ads, the millions and millions of dollars of negative advertising that we see every night, whether you're on TV, whether it's online, whether wherever it may be, you still see Mandela Barnes spots where he's with real people, where he's talking about his vision, where he's talking to different voters. I mean, it's almost a throwback to a gentler time when you ran a campaign and you actually tried to tell people what you were going to do. When's the last time you saw a spot with Ron Johnson that said, hey, I'm Ron Johnson, this is what I want to do? Other than, you know, his lies about debt and deficits and all this stuff and big spending, when it's the Republicans that have blown up the deficit and the debt when they've been in charge. You go back. Again, I challenge you all to go back, read articles about, since 1981, when are the years that the debt has exploded and the deficit has exploded? And what are the years where the debt has gone down and when the deficit has gone down? Every time that you'll look, it'll be Republican administrations that blow up the debt, and then the Democratic administrations of Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, and Joe Biden have all lowered deficits, and they have all lowered debt. In fact, and near the end of the Clinton administration, they were on track to eliminate the national debt, and there were Republicans who were very upset about that. So if Ron Johnson's so concerned about the debt, ought to go back to the policies that have been pushed by Democratic presidents over the years and not the debt blow-ups that we've seen with these incredible tax cuts like Mandela Barnes talked about in our interview. So again, appreciate Mandela Barnes coming on, joining us. We will come back after a quick break. Again, Jesse Appoyan will join me at 3:15. So still plenty to come here on the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. We'll have a complete look at the weather forecast. We'll be joined by Ray Miller from Weatherology after the top of the hour news. Jesse Appoyan of the Cap Times will be on hand at 3:15 as we talk about her latest article. Had a chance to delve a little deeper into Ron Johnson. We'll talk about that at 3:15. Also, don't forget tomorrow night, Wednesday, always a big day. I have, of course, the Chad Holmes Show from 2 to 4. And tomorrow we'll be joined by Sean Wright from the Grand Theater Performing Arts Foundation as we talk again about what's going on in terms of the events going on at the Grand Theater. Some really good stuff going on at the Grand. We'll talk about that tomorrow. And also tomorrow night from 6 till 8 p.m., another edition of the Big High School Sports Show. Great time of year. The high school playoffs getting underway. We'll be talking about that. I'm joined every Wednesday from 6 till 8 by former Mosinee head football coach, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association Hall of Famer Paul Davinsky. We'll recap what happened in the final week of the regular season. Look ahead to the playoff matchups this week as well. Plus, we got some guests going on coming in at 6:40. We'll be joined by the Wausau West head football coach, Matt Johnson. Warriors 8-1 on the season, tri-champions of the Valley Football Association, getting set for a first-round playoff matchup with one of the other tri-champions of their conference, Wisconsin Rapids. And then at 7:06, it will be our student-athlete guest for this week, Wittenberg-Burnhamwood running back David Goderman. So that's tomorrow night, 6 till 8 p.m., the Big High School Sports Show here on Bow Falls Radio, WXCO. And, of course, don't forget, we have a pair of high school football playoff broadcasts coming up on Friday. Yeah, Tom Field for the Wausau West game against Wisconsin Rapids live here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, starting with the pregame show at 6:40 and the opening kickoff at 7 p.m. Also on Friday night, Tom Weaver and Jeremy Cole will have the call as the undefeated Newman Catholic High School football team, defending WIAA 8-player state champs. They look to defend as they start off their playoff run against Chippewa Falls McDonald. That game will be broadcast live on our website, bowfallsradio.com, and clicking on Sports Stream 2 Friday night starting at 6:40 for the pregame show. And then that game will also air on a tape delay basis following our Wausau West broadcast here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9. So two games live. You can catch them both on our website on the live link, Wausau West and Wisconsin Rapids, as well as here on the radio. And also Newman Catholic against McDonald Catholic, live online sports stream 2 Friday night starting at 6:40. Interesting sports story yesterday, the Amherst Falcons. What a tough story it is, because Amherst, they finished off their football season this year, the regular season, undefeated. But last week, late in the week, WIAA received a call from an anonymous source saying that there was an Amherst football player that was ineligible, that he should not have been playing, that this player had played as a freshman in 2018. And really, there's a clock that you can only, 4 years, that this person played in 2018 as an eighth grader in Manoa. The WIAA said that the info reported to Manoa was that the homeschooled student was in fact a freshman in 2018. Amherst did not know this. They felt like they had no way of knowing and that they should not have been forced to forfeit their first eight games of the season. WIAA announced on Thursday of last week that Amherst would have to forfeit their first eight games. They were all victories, and they would be ineligible for the postseason playoffs. Well, Amherst won their game on Friday against Stratford, which would have been a battle for the conference championship. And then they filed a suit. The Amherst football team went to the courts, and they decided that they wanted to get the courts to overturn the WIAA's decision. But Amherst's lawyer argued the contribution of victory clause that the WIAA has should have been applied, saying that the player did not cause the Amherst team to win all those games. The problem was this player was involved in 43% of the snaps, so he was actually part of the team for quite a bit of the season. And the lawyer decided that, nope, that the WIAA decision would not be overruled, so Amherst will not be in the playoffs. So, again, it's a tough story. It's a difficult story. It's really difficult for the WIAA as well. You feel for Amherst because this person that dropped a dime, basically, made the phone call and got the information out. It would have been nice if they would have got the information out before the season so that Amherst would have known this, that player would not have played at all. In all likelihood, Amherst would have had at the very least a very close to the same record, certainly would have been in the playoffs. But in the end, the WIAA said there's really nothing you can do, and I can understand that. I mean, this player played 43% of the snaps, was ineligible based on the rules. Amherst was a difficult decision, difficult situation, but according to the WIAA, they needed to make a few more phone calls and make a little bit more of an effort to find out the true situation in terms of eligibility for this player. So, again, WIAA doesn't want to be involved in that. They don't want to have to make this decision. But at the same time, rules are rules, and transfer students are ineligible until the eligibility is verified. So Amherst, despite going 9-0 on the field this season, will not be involved in the WIAA playoffs when they get underway on Friday night. Coming up here in just a few moments, we will have CBS News at the top of the hour. Find out what's going on around the country and around the world. I'll be back at 3:06. We'll talk to Ray Miller. Again, look out the window. I'm looking out the window right now. Lots of sunshine. I was outside. It's still chilly, but at the same time, when that sun is out, it does feel a lot warmer, doesn't it? But it is going to get actually a lot warmer as we get towards the end of the week, and it looks nice for our playoff games in high school football on Friday. So Ray Miller joining me at 3:06, and then at 3:15, we'll talk to Jessie Apoyan from the Cap Times about her article on Ron Johnson that came out last week. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO.
can